This past week, the Yankees played 7 games against 2 teams that they could definitely match up with come October. What did this week of games tell us about this Yankee team and what they need to do moving forward? We break down the series against the Minnesota Twins and the Boston Red Sox on this episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, which begins right now. Do you love Yankee baseball? If so, this is the show for you. Welcome to Pinstripe Talk with your host, Nick Delahanty. Welcome to another edition of the Pinstripe Talk podcast. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. Before we get into today's action, I want to remind you can follow us on Twitter at Pinstripe Talk ND, my personal account at Nick_Delahanty. You could also find us on Facebook by searching up Pinstripe Talk Podcast. Remember, we love talking Yankees baseball. We hope that you join in on the conversation as well. A reminder that our podcast is available on all streaming sites, Apple Podcasts. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on there. You can find us on Google Play Music, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, you name it. Our podcast is there available for you. Make sure you download and stream it, and make sure you share the link with your friends or colleagues that they can ultimately join in on our conversation as well. Once again, so you guys know, we do have a Teespring page that has all Pinstripe Talk podcast gear. Help support our show by wearing a t-shirt. They're pretty nice gear. I'm sure that you could definitely help us spread the word and promote our show by rocking one of our t-shirts or buying one of the items that are presented on the website. If you're interested in that, go to our social media accounts. The links are available on our pages, and you could definitely look that up and check that out at your convenience. On this episode of the podcast, we're going to break down the Yankees' last 2 series against the Minnesota Twins and the Boston Red Sox. I have a lot to say about the Red Sox series. I also have a lot to say about the Yankees starting pitching. And you might be surprised as to why we're not talking about the trade deadline, which is quickly approaching. And here's my response to that. This week, after the trade deadline, we are going to present a special episode of the podcast where we break down all the moves that the Yankees make, and we'll also talk about some other moves that go around Major League Baseball prior to that trade deadline. One of the big moves that I definitely will talk about, and if you've listened to the past shows, you know how much I love this guy, is the Marcus Stroman trade to the New York Mets. We'll break down how that affects the market and how ultimately it dictates the route that other teams go, especially the ones that need pitching help before the trade deadline. So that's all going to be in the special episode of the podcast. We hope that you listen in for that one. Find us on social media to make sure you don't miss that show. It's going to be fun. We'll definitely have a lot to discuss moving forward in regards to the trade deadline. The Yankees started the week, last week, by having a 3-game set against the Minnesota Twins. And the Minnesota Twins this year are playing great baseball. They're in the middle of the race in the American League Central. They're right in the thick of things in regards to the playoff hunt. And this is a team that you can't sleep on. The Yankees go into Minnesota, and they lose the first game 8-6. And it was a game where the Twins just had everything clicking. You know, they hit 5 homers in the game. CC Sabathia was not very good, only lasting 4 innings, allowing 6 runs, 4 home runs that Sabathia allowed. We'll talk more about Sabathia and his knee a little bit later in the show. Yankees were able to stay in the game. Luis Sessa comes in, throws 3 quality innings, only allows runs. One run really keeps the Yankees in it, but the Yankees' offense couldn't prevail, and they end up losing that first game. I think it was kind of a punch in the mouth right away because the Twins came in and said, you know what? You're the team that everybody's watching. You're the team with one of the best records in baseball, but we're really not intimidated by you. We're playing in our home stadium. And if you happen to listen to the ball game on either WFAN or Yes Network, you could hear how not only was the loudspeaker extremely loud where you heard it in between the commentators talking, But after a Yankee struck out, New York, New York played on the loudspeaker. There were just different things that the stadium was just rocking. The Twins turned a triple play. The stadium went absolutely bonkers. And you know what? It kind of had that playoff type of atmosphere to it, which is good for a team that's looking to play in the postseason. You know, you get used to that. That's a team that you might end up playing in October. So for the Yankees, it was a good experience to see it firsthand. And from that first game of the series, you kind of felt like this was going to be a roller coaster. It was going to be one of those series that you're going to see both teams really slug it out. And that's ultimately what we got. And I said it on Twitter, and I'll say it again. The second game of this series was the best game that Major League Baseball has seen this year. And I'm not even gassing the game. I'm not even overhyping the game. That's how good this game was. Yankees take a 2-0 lead in the first inning. Domingo German did not have it. He allows 8 runs in just 3 2/3. The Yankees found themselves down 8-2 after 4 innings. And at that point, you thought, man, Minnesota's going to pull away with this one. But the Yankees continue to fight back. They scored 3 in the 5th. The Twins tack on another run to make it 9-5. You just felt like the Yankees weren't out of it. Now, let's fast forward to the 8th inning. Yankees still down by the same score. They score 5 runs in the 8th inning, led by a Tauchman double, a Judge 2-run double, both baseballs, which definitely would have been home runs in Yankee Stadium. Then a Didi Gregorius double, and the Yankees find themselves with the lead. But then they come into the bottom of the 8th inning, and Zach Britton allows a 2-run homer to Miguel Sano, and the Twins retake the lead, and the madness is just going hectic. It's just going crazy. Yankees come out for the top half of the 9th. Down a run, needing a run to tie this game to send it at least to the next half inning. Aaron Hicks, the Yankees down to their final out. He clubs a home run. They take the lead. Now the Yankees have the lead again. Again, people. This is another lead. They have a 1-run lead with their closer coming to the mound. And Chapman can't throw a strike. Chapman loads the bases, allows a sac fly. Twins tie the game. We go to extras. Yankees go into the 10th inning. They take the lead once again. They're able to take the lead. So would this be the one that the Yankees finally get to keep for good? They go into the bottom half of the inning. Adam Ottavino comes on to pitch. And then all of a sudden, he can't figure it out. And it's a real struggle. An ultimate struggle. So they bring in Chad Green to try to get the final out with the bases loaded. And he allows a rocket off the bat. An unbelievable rocket, you have to admit. It was just one of the hardest hit balls in the game, and you just have to give credit where credit's due. Kepler roped that ball. If it was any other center fielder, that ball probably falls and the Twins win the game. But Aaron Hicks comes out of nowhere and does his Superman impression and makes a diving catch to end the game. 5-hour game. It was kind of like torment. It really was, because you were just waiting for the game to end so you could go to bed. 5 hours later, and remember, the game started later because of the fact that it was in Minnesota's time, so it started at 8 o'clock instead of the normal 7. So, we're sitting there, 1:30, I remember I was going to bed, but I woke up that next morning rejuvenated because the Yankees won the game. It was one of those games that it was back and forth, and both teams played their hearts out. It was really fun to watch a game that just, you know, you sit back and you say, this is one that people are going to talk about for a long time. And if that's the best game of the regular season, I know there's still a little more than a half a season left. You know, that's a game that was definitely awesome to watch. And I'm glad I got the opportunity to watch the whole thing, because the Yankees prevailed. And that catch by Hicks was a great way to seal the deal for the Yankees. Let's go to Game 3. Game 3, series tied at 1. Yankees trying to get the series win, heading out back to Fenway, and Game 3 starts off the same way that the first two started. The starting pitching did not have it. J.A. Happ, atrocious. 3 1/3, 6 runs allowed. Becoming a continuous trend. You're going to see it throughout this show, this whole week. The horrors of the starting pitching. But that didn't keep the Yankees out of it. The Yankees found a way. They kept keeping up with the Twins. They slopped around Jake Odorizzi. As bad as Happ was, Odorizzi might have been worse. 4 innings, allowed 9 runs, it kind of felt like the Twins were keeping him out there to try to save the bullpen, get as much out of Odorizzi as they could. Then Devin Smelzer comes in. He kind of neutralized the Yankees' attack, allowing one run over his five innings of work. Really looked sharp in that game. Yankees really didn't have an answer. Yankees get home runs in that game from Eddie Encarnacion, his 30th of the year. Aaron Hicks and Gleyber Torres, who for Torres was his 20th of the year. And the Yankees go on to win that game 10-7. So you look at that series and you say to yourself, you win 2 out of 3 against a team that you're possibly going to see in October, which is great. However, your pitching wasn't very good. You played 3 games in which it was basically a slugfest. In the last 2 games combined, both the teams combined for 12 home runs. The Twins hit 5 alone in Game 1. When you're looking at Minnesota, you're wondering, how the heck is the ball flying out of that ballpark so crazily? And the dimensions of the field. The Yankees hit a couple of balls that, in Yankee Stadium, or heck, in any stadium, they're home runs. You look at the Judge double in Game 2. You look at Talkman's double in Game 2. A couple of baseballs that were hit on both sides that definitely were no doubters in other stadiums. Just a weird dimension of playing. And you know what? You'll take the ones that did get out of the ballpark, but you wonder, what if those would have found their way out, the ones that were very close calls, both ways? Because it would have made the pitching even worse as the slugfest would have continued. So you leave Minnesota, you get 2 wins. You know, they're ugly wins, but again, when you look back at it, you're not going to look at the fact that they were quote-unquote ugly wins. You're going to look at the fact that you got the wins. And that's what matters. Yankees were able to battle. They show that no matter what the deficit is, they are in it. They have the ability to come back in games. And it's refreshing to see because this team has the fight. They have the offense. The starting pitching just not doing it. And it's really causing problems for the Yankees. And unfortunately, the starting pitching woes would continue into the Boston series. A series that the Yankees really could have separated themselves in the American League East Division if they would have taken care of business in this series. We'll break down that series and more when we come back here on the Pinstripe Talk Podcast. And we're back here on the Pinstripe Talk Podcast. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. A reminder, you can follow us on Twitter at Pinstripe Talk ND. Send us your thoughts on the Yankees, and we'll be sure to mention them on our show. We'll let you join in on our conversation. Again, we love talking Yankees baseball. We hope that you join in on that conversation. Yankees go to Fenway for a big 4-game set against their rival Red Sox. And I say big, being that it was a big series for both sides. The Yankees, who have a nice cushion in the American League East Division, could have really separated themselves and shown the rest of the division whose division this was for the taking. Yankees at least went in with that mentality of hoping to split, as then you can't allow Boston to gain any ground in the division, and you still hold them at bay. For the Red Sox, it's simple. They did not play to their standards early on in the year, and they were coming out to look for vengeance and get revenge and try to get back in this division race. A good series for the Red Sox meant that they could get themselves right back into the thick of things, especially with a lot of head-to-head matchups with the Yankees coming up past this series. We go into Game 1, and I feel like a broken record, but the starting pitching continues to stink. Masahiro Tanaka, oh my goodness. This was tough to watch. Unbelievably tough to watch. Boston comes out in the first inning and scores 7 runs. 7 runs. It was ugly. 12 runs allowed by Masahiro Tanaka in 3 1/3. The Yankees kind of kept them out there to save the bullpen a bit. Got to remember, Stephen Tarpley was called up prior to that game, and he didn't even get to Fenway yet. So the Yankees had to buy a little time so Tarpley could at least get there. So they kind of relied on Tanaka to get shelled a little bit to save up the bullpen. Unbelievably horrible. Red Sox in that game scored 19 runs, tallied 23 hits. I'm pretty sure the grounds crew had hits in that game. It just felt like every single person was in on the action. It was absolutely unbelievable to watch. And they kept scoring. 7 in the 1st. Then you look at 5 in the 4th, 3 in the 5th, 1 in the 6th, 3 in the 8th. They just kept scoring runs. And Porcello was good. 6 innings, 3 runs. That's all he had to do. He had a 19-run cushion. at the end of the game, the Red Sox had enough cushion. Porcello could have pitched terribly. They still would have won that game. And that was a real punch in the mouth right away, just like the beginning of the Twin series. Like, this game alone kind of dictated how the series was going to go, and you were concerned, like, oh boy, is this what the Yankees are going to do the rest of the series? Is this how the starting pitching is going to look? They have looked completely atrocious the last couple of days. Will this trend continue? This is a big series. We cannot allow this. So you go into game two of the series, and James Paxton is on the mound. And we're going to talk more about Paxton after we talk a little bit about this game. And again, a Yankee starter fails to go five innings. It's like the sun is shining, the grass is green, the sky is blue, and the Yankees can't get a starter to go past the fifth inning. It's un-freaking believable. Four innings for Paxton, seven runs. He allowed a leadoff home run right away. It was ugly. The Yankees were down 3-0 after one. Felt like game one all over again. Cashner made his first start as a Red Sox against the Yankees and does well, 6 2/3, allowed only three runs. Red Sox go on to win that one, 10-5. A little more respectable in terms of score. It wasn't that 19-3 blowout, but it still had that same feel. The Red Sox had their way against the Yankees pitching. And a lot of people critique Paxton, and he's a guy that really stands out. That was the big offseason acquisition. Has a 4.72 ERA now. It's really hard to judge him off the ERA, but there is one thing that I want to mention about Paxton I think could be the reason why he's struggling. We all remember when Sonny Gray got traded to the Yankees, and the Yankees wanted him to use his different pitches more than what he was used to using, kind of like they changed his whole approach to pitching. Well, if you look at Paxton's numbers, in 2018, Paxton used his curveball 21.5% of the time. And opponents hit 235 against it. He used his cutter 14.4% of the time. And opponents really struggle with it, hitting 144. Now with the Yankees, it seems like they're making him use his cutter a lot more, as he's up to 22.2%. And opponents are hitting 265 against it. So 120-point swing in the bad direction. Now he's only using his curveball 13.7% of the time. And opponents aren't hitting very well against it, only a 200 batting average. But still, it's a whole different ballgame. So are the Yankees the problem in regards to James Paxton? Are they the reason why he's struggling? That could ultimately be the reason. You know, the Yankees have this philosophy where they've tried to change pitchers and tried to change their approach. And these guys have struggled because of it. If you're acquiring a pitcher and that guy is effective at what he's doing, why would you change it? If the guy starts to struggle, obviously, yes, you look for new solutions. But for a guy like Paxton, who came in, if you look at his numbers, if you look at all the analytics, is one of the top 20 pitchers in the game prior to coming to the Yankees, why would you mess around with him? Why would you make him change his approach? You know, it very well could be Paxton making that change. But somebody's got to tell him, look, you know, why are you getting away from what worked in the past? The Yankees really need to sit down with him and say this. Like, you know, we got to get you back on track. You're an important piece to this team. If we want to go anywhere this season, you're going to have to be one of the guys to help get us there. And I get it. His knee is not 100%. I'm sure he hasn't been 100% since the knee injury. But this is a guy that they desperately need to step up. And if he doesn't step up, they're in a lot of trouble because the way the starting pitching's going, it's been an uphill battle for the Yankees. And he's the guy that, before the season, I would have told you, was going to be a major reason why or why the Yankees were not going to have success this year. So they really got to look at these numbers, and they really have to stop pressuring these guys to use different pitches they're not confident using, because it's really affecting them, and I think that it's playing a major role in Paxton's effectiveness on the mound. I'm sure he'll figure it out. I think he's got too good of stuff to not figure it out. Hopefully, as the year goes on, his knee will get healthy. But for the meantime, Paxton's really got to settle in, because it's getting to the point where a lot of people are getting impatient with watching him on the mound, and the Yankees desperately need him to step up. We had the game three of the Red Sox series, and another day, another bad start from a Yankee starter. This time, once again, CC Sabathia doesn't go five innings, allows five runs. struggled again, only threw 65 pitches. You know, if you look at the numbers, the earned runs really hurt him. However, he was effective with his pitches. He's not a guy who's going to strike out a lot of guys anymore, but he's a guy that goes out there and battles. After this game, Sabathia goes on the injured list with a knee injury, same knee that's been bothering him for the last couple of years. It's a cause of concern for the Yankees. It could very well just be giving him a little more rest to try to get him back on track. However, we'll have to wait it out. We'll talk more about the Sabathia injury when we break down the starting pitching later on in the show. Yankees once again lose to the Red Sox. This one 9-5, and the Red Sox clinch at least a series win. Eddie Rodriguez, who seems to pitch really well against the Yankees, he's having a really good year for the Red Sox, 13-4 record. He's been a bright spot. The ERA is not there, but however, he continues to rack up wins. Yankees can't get it done, and it becomes frustrating, and you start to question, does this team have the moxie to compete in October? And do they have the pitching to compete in October? Because from the last six games that we've just witnessed, it's been a real, real struggle. And we're going to break it down more, but it's just becoming rather frustrating watching these guys go out there and really just struggle right out of the gate. Sunday Night Baseball was the final game of the series, and if you're the Yankees, you go in saying, we can't get swept in this game. We really can't. You can't leave Fenway losing four straight. You play these guys next weekend. They're coming to your house. You have to have at least some kind of positive moving forward. And the Yankees were able to cap off the series by at least winning a game 9-6. They beat up on Chris Sale. Chris Sale, who definitely has not been the same guy that he's been in the past. Austin Roman hit an absolute moonshot off of him. Didi Gregorius hit a bomb too. The Yankees finally able to get a win. And that was because Domingo Herman pitched well. 5 1/3, allowed only 3 runs, 77 pitches. He probably could have went longer in the game, but great move by Boone to get him out of there. Knowing that the Yankees needed a win, he didn't waste any time going to the bullpen. Canley comes in, then they go to Ottavino, Britton, and Chapman. Chapman struggled a little in the ninth, but it didn't matter. Yankees had a big enough lead. Yankees win the game, and it kind of takes the sting out of the first three games of the series. The Yankees could not allow the Red Sox to sweep them. The fans would have hit the panic button. It would have been absolute chaos on Twitter. Heck, Twitter has been chaos recently with the Yankees' struggles. Starting pitching has been a concern for everybody and their brother. And it's just been a very tough thing to watch. Yankees salvage something of that series. And it kind of takes the sting out of the whole series. They're still 9 games up in the division. And that leads me to talk about the future of this team. Do they have the offense? Absolutely. They have guys coming back soon, hopefully, in Giancarlo Stanton that's going to add some more power and pop to the lineup. The guys that they have now are contributing, doing their job. They have fight. Every single game, you feel that they're in it because of the fact that they could score 5 to 6 runs at any time. But the starting pitching is very, very concerning to me. And you know what? I'm going to pose this question to you. And I've been thinking about this a lot lately. Say the Yankees win the division. Who do you want on the mound in Game 1 of the American League Division Series? Do you want Tanaka on the mound, who has been iffy at times? Or do you hope that the Yankees not sideline Domingo Herman and let him get the ball in that game? Really, the Yankees don't have an option right now to be that front-of-the-line ace. There is not one guy that is pitching to that level. And it's simple. These guys got to pitch better. They really do. They've had streaks where they've set club records for the worst weeks as a starting pitching unit in club history. They've been very bad. And they're the talk of the game because as the trade deadline approaches, teams see how bad these starters have been. They see how CC Sabathia isn't holding up with his knee. They see that the Yankees ace has not even thrown a pitch yet this season. And teams use that as leverage to get better prospects for their guys. Marcus Stroman, we're going to talk about him in the trade deadline show. He goes to the Mets. The Yankees could have had a better package than what the Mets gave up, but the Blue Jays wanted more. They're a division rival. They know the Yankees need for starting pitching. The Mets. The Mets have a handful of guys that could impact the Yankees rotation. But again, it's a crosstown rival. They're going to make the Yankees pay for the premium. Teams are going to make them give them prospects that are worth their while. The Yankees have to address starting pitching needs. And it's an issue right now because you just sit back and you say to yourself, can this rotation compete with a Houston in the postseason? You know, who do you match up with Verlander and Cole? And who knows if they make a trade prior to the deadline? It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. And it's really frustrating if you're a Yankee fan because you know that you have the talent to win this year. But the market is dictating what the Yankees do. And is there really a guy out there right now that you could slide into the front of the rotation that's going to dominate every fifth day? There's no Pedro Martinez's on this market. You're looking at Robbie Ray's and Mike Miners and guys like that. The closest thing that you probably have to an ace is Noah Syndergaard, and it's very unlikely that the Yankees are going to get him in a trade because the Mets don't seem to want to trade with them unless they get a package that knocks their socks off, as John Heyman says. But you do need some kind of depth that you could put into the rotation and have some confidence that when you give them the ball, they're going to thrive. And Brian Cashman is one of the smartest GMs in the league. I always give him credit where credit's due because he's done wonders with this team. But in the same token, if there's a guy out there that the Yankees could get to win now, I would hope that he would give up the prospects to do it. You know, prospect hugging is cool. There's guys that you want to keep around that you think have good potential. But in the long run, you have a chance to win the World Series now. Go out and make the move. Get it done. It's been too long since 2009. Yankees are due. And this might be the most important trade deadline of Cashman's career with the Yankees. The Yankees have one of the best teams in baseball, but their pitching might be the worst pitching on a good team that we've seen in a long time. If this is the rotation that the Yankees are pushing out come October, then we're going to see an early exit for the Yankees because as good as your offense is, your pitching cannot afford to struggle the way that the Yankees rotation has. And over the first part of the season, some of the struggles were kind of pushed to the side because the Yankees offense has been so good and it's been helping the team win games. But now it's at the forefront because you saw them against two playoff teams and the Yankees rotation had no answers to try to get batters out. None. None whatsoever. So it's becoming very frustrating. And as you guys know from listening to my show, I'm usually a positive guy with regards to the team. But I'm getting to the point where I'm getting impatient waiting for them to add to the rotation. I feel like Cashman's waiting for guys like Dellin Betances and Luis Severino to come back and impact this team. But what happens if they don't? You're literally going to go into the postseason with this rotation? I can't imagine putting Jay Happ on the mound or CeCe. And I love CeCe, but his time is coming. It's over. His career is coming to an end. He's not the same guy he used to be. I can't see putting them on the mound in pivotal games in the postseason. I just can't see it. And I get the whole logic, you know, if the starting pitching market's not where the Yankees want it to be, you address the bullpen. But as much bullpen help as you have, you're going to burn those guys out. You need pitching to get you deep into games. Look at the past World Series championship teams. Guys dominated, absolutely dominated to help their clubs. You can go through a list of guys. I'm not going to name them because I'm not like that. But again, you need the starting pitching depth, and it's crucial for the Yankees' playoff run. So this is a very huge week coming up for the New York Yankees. The trade deadline is going to dictate a lot about what the future of this team holds. If they're a World Series contender, then they have to improve at the deadline. They're in a spot where the pressure is on, and I'm sure that Brian Cashman will make some type of deal. It's a matter of what he decides to do and what the asking price to do that deal ends up being for him. And if he's comfortable with that price tag that's set on the market. The market will dictate what he does. But it'll be interesting to see what he ultimately does end up doing for this team. As a fan, as somebody who watches them every night, as somebody who analyzes what they do, I hope that they do not stand pat. Because the guys that are coming back are not guarantees to come back. You're talking September for Severino, late August for Betances. Loaizica's at a rehab, but what a rehab stint. But what is he going to bring you? You know, I just think that they need to add another arm to add some type of stability to what they're doing. And it's going to be interesting to see if Cashman could get a deal done before the trade deadline passes. That's going to wrap up today's show. Again, follow us on Twitter at PinstripeTalkND, at Nick_Delahanty is my personal account. Let us know what you think about the Yankees' current starting pitching woes and what you think about the team moving forward. Do you think this team is a legitimate World Series contender right now? Let us know your thoughts. We'll share them on our trade deadline special at the middle part of this week. As always, find us on Facebook, Pinstripe Talk Podcast. Search it up, like it up, send it to your friends. Always, always, always help support our show. We appreciate all the support that we do get. You have no idea how much we appreciate it, and we hope that you enjoy listening to our show on a weekly basis. Again, you want to keep supporting our show and promoting our show? Buy some gear. Our gear looks so awesome. I put an order in for a couple of my shirts so I can walk around and promote my show, show that I'm proud of it. Make sure you help us spread the word. There's some links on there on our social media accounts that will help you find those. Our gear not only has our logo on it, but it also has our social media accounts on it. So you're kind of like a walking advertisement. Definitely help us support the show. The funds that we do make off of those shirts help go toward our show production. So any support that we do get is appreciated. As always, we are part of the Overtime Media. Excited to be a part of that team. As you notice in our shows, have a couple of advertisements rolling in. If you are into advertisements or you want your advertisements to be heard on our show, hit us up. Send us some emails, pinstripetalk@gmail.com, and we'll help you get set up with that. There's a lot of great things happening with our show, and we're excited to share them with you, our loyal listeners. This will wrap up our show for today. Make sure you tune in and keep an eye out for our trade deadline special. We are excited to have two shows going on the air this week. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. This has been another episode of the Pinstripe Talk Podcast, and we'll talk to you soon.